We're going to look at the reason for the resurrection. Mark 16, Mark chapter 16, and we are very thankful for all of our guests, all of our visitors today. We want you to hone in on what I'm going to preach. Evidently, people were really listening intently last week because I preached short, and I always say that, if you'll really pay close attention, I'll preach real short. If I see that you're sleeping or, you know, could care less or thinking about what's on gun smoke or whatever, I'll just preach on and on and on. So pay attention. It'll do you good. Mark chapter 16, verse 1. And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome. Is it Salome or Salome? Surely not Salome. Salome. How about that? There's like eight different ways you could pronounce this. We'll say Salome. That sounds really good. Like, not Ellie Mae, Salome. So that's how I can remember that from here on out. These two women, it ain't that funny. These two women have bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulcher at the rising of the sun and said among themselves, who shall roll away the stone from the door of the sepulcher? Reason they said that is because they had seen the Romans roll the thing over the mouth of the grave, and they knew on their own effort there was no way they could do that. Now, question, why did God have the stone rolled away? Was it for Jesus to get out? Certainly not. It was so the disciples could get in and be the witness and verify that Jesus had resurrected from the dead. And when they had looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulcher, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, meaning an angel, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he saith unto them, be not affrighted. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is not here. He is risen, he is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. Now this right here, the next verse, is really the crux of this sermon. Here it is. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter. Why not just say, and go tell the disciples? He didn't do that. The angel said, go and tell the disciples and Peter to meet him in Galilee. The reason is because Simon Peter had so grievously denied Jesus. He denied him once when the woman said, your speech betrays you, you was with him. I was not. Somebody else looked at him and said, you are one of them. He said, I am not. The third time a young maiden said, you're one of the disciples, and with a curse, Simon Peter said, I am not. And the moment he done that, the rooster crowed, and the Bible says Jesus looked at him as Jesus was being led away. And the Bible tells us that Simon Peter went out and wept sorrowful. This is not the sermon, but this is why that after the resurrection and Jesus met with all the disciples on different occasions, on one of them occasions, he looked at Simon Peter and says, do you love me? And Simon said, well, yes, Lord, you know I do. Then he says, do you love me? Well, yes, Lord, you know I do. And then he said, do you love me? Why would he said that three times? Anybody know? Because he had denied him three times. He had denied him publicly three times. Jesus was able to open the gate of forgiveness up to that man where he was able to openly confess Jesus three times. This is why the angel says, ladies, go tell the disciples and Peter. He has got to know and to be lifted up out of the mess and the distress that he is currently in. The reason for the resurrection, praise God, is one of forgiveness and hope. Thank God for that. Bow your heads, please. Father, we thank you and praise you, God, for this opportunity to be able to speak this truth of the resurrection into the heart and spirit of every person that's here. I ask and pray, Lord God, for your anointing upon me and, Lord, your anointing upon those to hear and receive, God, both here and also at Centralia. And we're giving you the praise for that in Jesus' name. Amen. It has been 20 plus years ago, and boy, I speak like that, and I know I sound old when I'm really a young guy. But it's been 20 plus years ago, Kay and myself was with another couple, and we was in Indianapolis, Indiana. And I won't go into all the deep, well, I'll tell you this, although I probably shouldn't. We went to a place called the New Orleans place. At least that's what it was called. And again, this is old. That's what it was called 20 plus years ago. I don't know what it would be called now. But per plate, I found out once we got in there, was $21 a plate. $42. I worked really, really hard 20 plus years ago to get $42. And I looked at Kay and I said, Kay, you can eat. I'm going to have a glass of water. And the other couple, that guy, he freaked out. Oh, Mark, you've got to eat. I mean, they'll charge you full price for that glass of water. I said, if you think that waiter with the puffy shirt can get $21 out of me for this water, you don't know me very well. Because that ain't going to happen. And he just could see a scene coming on, so he said, I'll tell you what, I'll pay for all of it. I'll pay for everybody's. I said, give me that menu. This is what I'll have. But we had a good time there at Indianapolis and seeing the sights, and we was right downtown, and it may have been on the very same day. I don't remember now. It's been 20 plus years ago. And I saw something that God has used for over 20 years to stir my heart. We wasn't far from, I think there was McDonald's, it was across the street, and we was coming up, about ready to round the bend. We was right down there to where the square is, where they've got that big statue for the, and probably most, a lot of you have seen that, to where it's the for the veterans. And I saw a guy, well, I couldn't even see all of him. Most of this man was bent over in a trash can across the street from that fast food joint, and I was watching. This was 20 plus years ago. I didn't get out much way back then, and I was in the big city. And I seen this guy with his whole body almost inside that trash can, and he come up out of there, and he was holding a half-eaten hamburger, and it looked like that guy had a look of excitement and joy on his face, like Christmas had just come to him. He was so happy to get that hamburger. And I have never forgotten the look on that guy's face. I have never forgotten what his clothes were like. I have never forgotten that man with his face stuffed down into that trash receptacle trying to find something to eat. And God has used that man for 20 plus years to motivate me and to let me know and realize that Jesus Christ died on the cross 2,000 years ago for that man. Amen. David says, what is man that thou art mindful of him? For you've created him a little lower than the angels. And for that man, created in the image of God. In the image of God. St- stuffed himself in there looking for that hamburger and so excited with what he found there that day. Jesus Christ had his beard plucked out and a crown of thorns driven upon his head for that man. And for him to live in that fallen state. And God again has used that guy as a picture of humanity to me from 20 plus years ago, even until right now. Jesus had nails driven in his hands and his feet for that man. Jesus resurrected from the dead for that one man. This is why you can find in the Bible where it says, and one, Simon of Cyrene, was chosen to carry the cross of Christ. The man lived 800 miles from Jerusalem. And God saw to it that he was there the moment that was needed. That man was there. And Simon of Cyrene, the Bible lets us know, has two sons by the name of Rufus and Alexander. And we know that Rufus became a co-laborer together with Paul in spreading the gospel message of Jesus Christ. And his dad was the one that helped carry the cross of Christ. One Simon of Cyrene. There was one woman at the well that God was looking for. One Zacchaeus that was up the tree seeing what was going on. One Matthew at the receipt of customs, getting taxes from people. Jesus died for all. We know that. But I want you to know this. Jesus died for each. 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 Every person that you will meet today and tomorrow, Jesus Christ died for each and every one. George Truett, a great gospel preacher 100 years ago, pastored the biggest church in the world, First Baptist Church, Dallas, Texas. His words were written down, everything he ever spoke behind a pulpit, and it went in magazines and went in the newspapers around the world. George Truett at one time was babysitting his granddaughter there at the house. And he had a message that he was trying to prepare. And he told her, honey, you stay in this room. Grandpa will be over here in this room. He wasn't there 5 minutes. Knock at the door. Grandpa, I need a glass of water. All right, honey, I'll go get you a glass of water. Gets a glass of water, gives it to her. Now, don't bother Grandpa. I got to get this sermon ready. 5 minutes later, knock at the door. Grandpa, I need a glass of water. This happened 2 or 3 times. And finally, he's at his wit's end and he thinks, I've got a puzzle that'll keep her occupied. It's a puzzle of the whole world. That'll keep her occupied. He put the puzzle out. Here's the puzzle, hon. You can put this puzzle together. Don't bother Grandpa. When you get the puzzle done, you and Grandpa will play together then. And he's thinking, that'll keep her busy for an hour, maybe more. 5 minutes later, knock at the door. Grandpa, I need a drink of water. The puzzle's done. The puzzle can't be done. He walked back in. The puzzle's complete. And he said, who's been in here to help you do that? Well, nobody, Grandpa. You was not able to do. I put it together by myself, Grandpa. How was you able to do that? Well, on the other side, it had the face of a man, not all of these lines of different countries. And I turned all of them over because the box showed me I could do this. And I turned them all over upside down and I just put the man together. And Truett thought, that was his sermon right there. We ain't trying to put the world together. We're trying to put the man together. We ain't trying to, it's going to be impossible to reach everybody, but the man, the woman, the person that we can reach, we need to do it. Because Jesus Christ died for that person, and we need to reach them with the greatest thing in the world. Twice in the book of Hebrews, the Bible says, God's word, I am not ashamed to call them my children. God looks at angels and says to the angels, I am not ashamed to call Mark my child. God looks at Abraham and said, I am not ashamed to call Kay my child. With all of my faults that I have, God's not ashamed. With all of my wife's, God is not ashamed. And yet, for us to live our life like we are ashamed of Him when He is perfect, that's craziness. We should never be ashamed of who He is and what He's done for us. Polycarp, the first century believer, said when he was at the stake to be burned at the stake, and someone said, if you will recant, if you will deny Jesus, we will let you live. And Polycarp's famous statement was, I have known Jesus for over 50 years. Why would I deny Him now? I like that. Don't be ashamed of the Word of God. The Bible said, I will speak of thy word even before kings, and I will not be ashamed. When I was a junior and senior in high school, I carried my Bible to school. And I'll tell you what, you can say a lot of negative things about me. Some of them will even be true. Won't deny that. But you can't say the preacher's ashamed of the gospel, because I'm not. I got things wrong with me. I realize that. My wife could go on about different things that's wrong. I realize that. But I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the power of God unto the salvation. The Bible tells us that the angel said, go and tell the disciples and Peter. The reason for the resurrection is forgiveness and restoration. That's what God offers to each and every person. That's what God had offered, and I thought of this for 20 years now. I have prayed for that guy, and I have wondered, that man that was in that trash can, if anybody else was praying for that man. Because his mom and dad were probably gone. His wife was probably gone. 1 Peter says this, God has begotten us again unto a lively hope. How? By the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. See, I ain't basing everything just on a pipe dream. It's on something as sure and solid as eternity itself. Jesus Christ resurrected. That's what I'm basing everything on. Let's play that video if we're ready for that.
The greatest love that anyone could ever know.
I knew I messed up and I needed forgiveness for years and years of drug addiction. I was addicted to methamphetamine.
All of my past mistakes since I got out of college.
I was just so lost in religion.
Anger that I had towards God and bitter feelings towards Him when my dad passed away.
My failures in life made me feel
ashamed.
Lost and alone.
That I could not be the person that I was always meant to be. It literally bogged me down, the feelings that I had against God, and just changed me as a person.
But I have found
Jesus.
Forgiveness and peace and understanding.
That what I had with my earthly father, the sense of security, the protection that he provided for me and my siblings and my mom, and just the love that he gave us and the care, I found that what I had with my earthly father now has switched over, and I have that in my heavenly father.
Because my Jesus lives.
Because my Jesus lives.
Because my Jesus loves me.
And my Jesus is alive.
You are the voice that God the
Don't be ashamed of your testimony of what God's done in your life. Becky Isle, been clean and sober for 5 years. 5 years. awesome. Praise God. Praise God. Don't be ashamed of what God's done in your life. Judas betrays the Lord Jesus for 30 pieces of silver and then takes those 30 pieces of silver and throws them down at the high priest and his entourage, throws them down and they hit the floor and they take that silver and that's blood money and they go and they buy the potter's field, a portion of that. And this man never ever receive forgiveness, and I think the reason why, and this is old as time itself when it comes to forgiveness, could that man have been saved? I believe so. We already see now Simon Peter grievously in front of everybody denied Jesus, and forgiveness was there for him to ask for. I don't think Judas could ever forgive himself. And we see because of the power of the resurrection and the reason for the resurrection, where we see a few months after this, where Simon Peter is restored, he is made whole by the forgiveness of God. And what is he doing on the day of Pentecost? He is preaching and 3,000 people get born again. A few days or weeks after that, we see to where he is at the gate, beautiful, him and John, and there is a man there laying that has been there, and he is lame. He has been doing this for years and years and years, and what's he doing? He's asking for alms. Alms, alms for the poor, alms for the poor. Simon Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he reached down and picked him up, and that man began leaping and jumping and shouting and praising God. God can give you more than what you even bargained for. Amen. See, he was asking for alms and got legs. Huh? That's a good one, even though some of you are thinking, I'm not going to laugh on that one. Don't ever try to convince me that God only wants to save a certain few. God used that man in that trash can to tell me something different. God wants to save everybody. God wants to save everybody. Oh, no, preacher. God just after a certain few. Frozen, chosen. He's only after the best and the greatest and the finest and the brightest. I got a word for that. It's a Hebrew word. Hogwash. Don't believe that for a second. Don't believe it for a second. God is for after whosoever will. And the person that thinks that God is only after a select few, at best, you're too smart by half. At worst, you're an elitist and an egomaniac. Oh, I'm one. I'm the one. No, you're not the one. Jet Li was the one, wasn't it? What, 8 people got that joke. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I've done a lot of weddings. Man, I have. And if you're going to get married, don't just come up to me and say, "Preacher, I want you to marry me on such and such a date." No, it ain't going to work that way. You got to go through some counseling. I mean, think of this. A guy that's going to be a plumber has got to go through all kind of testing or whatever. And yeah, you want to get married? Well, go to the courthouse. Yeah, this one's breathing. He'd give the money. He can get married. Done a lot of weddings. I've seen people. I take thee to be my wedded wife. I've seen other people. Yeah, I take thee to be my wedded wife. I've seen other people go, "I take thee." Which one's the most married? All of them. That's right. It's not so much about how you feel, how you say it, how you... No. No. They're all married the same. I've used this a few times, not very many. She's since ratcheted this down somewhat, but I found my old notes the other day on this, so I've used it when it was fresh in my mind and when I first wrote this down about 10 years ago. Things around Kay's bathtub. How many's interested in, you interested in what that is? Vanilla and lavender bubble bath. Amplifying shampoo. Instant moisture daily treatment. Olay body wash. Candles. Raspberry scented bath crystals. Warm vanilla body splash. I'm not done. Juniper breeze body cream. Very berry bath and shower gel. Now, I figured it was just berry. I didn't know it was very berry. I didn't know they even made that. Strawberry moisturizing lotion. Peppermint foot lotion. And all you really need is soap and water. And some people need shampoo, but that's another deal. You get by without all that other stuff. But soap and water is what you really need. Let me give this to you. Acts chapter 20. Repentance toward God and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. What do you need to be saved? Repentance toward God and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. We've all sinned, every one of us. You take your coat off, there ain't gonna be wings sprouting out the back. I know they won't. Don't try to convince me otherwise. We're all sinners. He don't know me very well. The Bible says you're a liar then. That's right. That's right. We repent and we believe and trust in Jesus Christ is what it takes. Amen. We can receive that because of the resurrection. Justification, forgiveness, and hope is brought to us by the resurrection of Jesus. Let's all stand. Heavenly Father, I have given today what I felt that you put upon my heart a couple weeks ago for this day. And I am praying, God, right now, as your Spirit speaks to people's hearts today, that if there's anyone here, whosoever will, the Bible said that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Thank God. And if there's someone here today that they need to call out onto you for salvation, I am praying, God, that they'll do that this day. They will do that this day. If there are Christian people here that need to be praying for whatever reason, God, help them to know that they can have that and receive that what they need, not from this church, not from this preacher, but from you. You're big enough to do that within their life. Keep your head bowed just for a moment. If you're here this morning, I'm not going to go back and drag you to the altar. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. If you're here this morning and you've never said yes to Jesus Christ as your Savior, I want you to raise your hand. Be honest with me. Be honest with God. If you're here this morning, anybody? Anybody? Thank you. Thank you. As they play and sing, the Spirit of God directs you and draws you. We want you to exhibit and exert your faith toward Him this day and see what God can do in your life. And He'll do it because of the resurrection. As they sing. Thank you, Lord.
There are arms that we can lean in.
It is our prayer that you have been blessed as you've listened to this message. If you would like to become a partner with this ministry, please contact us here at Orchardville Church. You can visit our website at orchardvillechurch.com, or you can contact us by phone at area code 618-835-2677.
I saw Jesus.